Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
There's new vaccine recommendations, and there's different ones this year than we've ever seen before. My guest is Dr. Cody Meisner. He's professor of pediatrics at Tufts University School of Medicine and chief of the Pediatric Infectious Disease Service at Tufts Medical Center in Boston. So, Dr. Meisner, there are new recommendations out. Tell us a little bit about the new recommendations, and I would like to talk about the new DTaP boosters. So tell us a little bit about the new recommendations to start.
Okay, well, first of all, thank you, Melanie, for the invitation to participate. And it's a very important topic, and I always appreciate the opportunity to inform parents about the immunization program. Because I think, just to start with, it's important for everyone to understand that we vaccinate against 16 different infectious diseases between birth and 18 years of age, and those vaccine-preventable diseases are at record low levels in this country, and they're at record low levels because we are at record high uptake rates of the vaccines. So,
no, that's okay. That's amazing. And, you know, good for us for doing this. Now, you know, some of the new ones are causing a little bit of controversy for women at pregnancies to protect their newborns. So speak about those recommendations.
Okay. You're correct. One of the major changes that occurred in the past few months and has been incorporated into the new recommendations, which come out each February, is to vaccinate women with a vaccine called Tdap, T-D-A-P, with each pregnancy. Now, this recommendation is in response to the outbreak of pertussis that's occurring around the United States. And last year, in 2012, when the final numbers are in, there will probably be close to 40,000 reported cases of pertussis or whooping cough, and those are confirmed cases. So the actual number of cases is probably 10 to 100 times that number.
So who is giving the vaccine to the pregnant woman? Is it her OB-GYN?
Yes.
Doing this?
It should be the obstetrician-gynecologist. The recommendation is to give the vaccine during the second half of gestation, that is after week 20. The vaccine is safe at any stage of pregnancy, but the advantage of immunizing a mother later in pregnancy, that is in the second half, is that she will have a brisk response to the vaccine and will make a high level of immunity, which she will then pass across the placenta to her baby. And when the baby is born, that baby will have mother's high level of immunity. The reason that's important is because in addition to those 40,000 cases of reported pertussis last year, there were approximately 20 deaths and due to complications of pertussis or whooping cough. And 90% of those deaths occurred in the first 2 to 3 months of life when children are very young and have a hard time fighting the infection.
Now, who else is getting the Tdap booster? What ages? Are we giving them to more groups of people than we were?
We are giving them to more groups. It's now recommended that everyone 7 years and above receive Tdap. And this is the most recently added group before the pregnant moms was individuals who are over 65 years of age, because it turns out that grandparents, for example, contract pertussis. Oftentimes, it isn't the typical picture of whooping cough that we think of in children, so the diagnosis is not made, and a grandparent may expose the grandchild to pertussis. And if it's a young child, there is a real risk of not surviving that infection. So the recommendation is also to include people who are 65 years and older.
So now speak about the pneumococcal vaccine, because that's also, you know, being given all the way up to, what, a bunch of months, a couple of years
yes.
old now. So speak
yes.
about that pneumonia vaccine.
Yes. The pneumonia vaccine story is a complicated one.
Well, we don't have a lot of time on these segments.
So, right. Yeah. Yep. Let me try and distill it down to just a couple of points. We know that the current pneumococcal vaccine is administered at 2 months, 4 months, 6 months of age, and then once again when children are at 12 to 15 months of age. Now, the current vaccine has only been around for a couple of years, and it's an improvement over the vaccine that was available prior to 2010. So the recommendation is for young children to be caught up with this new pneumococcal vaccine, because it turns out that the pneumococcus is one of the most common causes of pneumonia, and it can cause blood infections, and it can cause bacterial meningitis.
So now, Dr. Meisner, there's been some news recently about the number of parents that are delaying vaccines completely. So tell us, you know, they call it the alternative vaccine schedule, and or untested, you know, made up schedules, whatever they want to call it. And you know, it's causing trouble in the schools, and we're seeing infant meningitis, things that were not seen before. And so what is the problem with these alternative vaccine schedules, and why are people so afraid of the schedule that's put out by the CDC and experts such as yourself?
Yes, you're quite right. And it's important for everyone to understand, for all of your listeners to understand, that there is only one approved and recommended immunization schedule. And that schedule is issued by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, by the American Academy of Pediatrics, and the American Academy of Family Physicians. An enormous amount of time and energy goes into deciding what the best recommendation schedule is. That is, the schedule has been optimized so that protection will be provided to vaccine recipients during the time when they're at greatest risk of getting a particular disease, because different diseases occur at different stages in life most frequently. If a parent decides not to stick to the currently recommended vaccine, then there are two problems. Number one, that child is not protected, because the child has not received the full dose of the vaccine, or that the dosing is broken up so that not all the vaccines are given at their recommended time, and the child remains susceptible to these infectious diseases. It's important to remember that even though many of these diseases, like measles and polio and the bacteria that causes meningitis, are seen much less frequently now, the diseases are still around us. The germs that cause those diseases are still around us. And so if people elect to use an alternative schedule, it's based on no scientific fact. There are no data to say that it's as effective, and it may not even be as safe as the regular immunization or the established accepted immunization schedule.
Now, Dr. Meisner, in the last 10 seconds, best advice for vaccination and following the new schedule.
Well, it's the most important thing that any parent, mother or father can do for their child is to adhere to the recommendations of your pediatrician or your internist in terms of staying up to date.
Well, you're listening to Healthy Children on Radio MD, and I'm Melanie Cole. Stay well.